things has changed. But one thing that's not changed is he's still on the throne. Jesus is still the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. No matter how we're able to celebrate, the important thing is that we recognize who he is and what he did for us on this night. A little new at the Advent thing. Peggy usually helps me out. But tonight we'll be lighting the white candle that represents Christ. And the color white is for his purity. And he came to cleanse us from all of our sins and to make us as white, whiter than this candle actually, but as white as snow. The Bible teaches that he takes those dark sins and cleanses them, makes them white as snow. So we'll have a word of prayer, then we'll light this middle candle. Father, we thank you tonight for your grace and mercy that you bestowed upon us. Father, we thank you for this time of year, although it seems mighty different to us. And Lord, we want to take this time to pray for those that are in the hospitals. We have many that's close to us, many that's in our communities, maybe even related to us closely, that is in critical condition or different health crisis going on. Lord, we ask you to heal their bodies. God, there's some people that's very young that's suffering tonight, and those families, and we just feel for them. We ask you to heal in a mighty way. We thank you for the purity of this candle represents, the white of how you cleanse us from all sins and make us as white as snow, makes us acceptable to a holy God. Lord, we thank you tonight. We ask you to bless this service. Let us see you and not who's around us, and let us focus on you for just a little bit. Take our minds off all the worries and anxieties we've got, and may we just focus on you. These blessings we do ask in Jesus' name. Amen. This was funnier when it was Marley. What would I do without her?
Name, all oppression shall cease.
Man, I don't think I could sing that better myself. I love that song. Tonight I've, of course, thought about what to preach, and we'll be finishing up our Remember Me part. This is part four, and I want you to remember the gift of grace. This is the most important gift that we have been given of all the things that Christ gives us. His grace is so awesome. It's amazing. If you've ever studied about the man who wrote the song Amazing Grace, he truly understood how amazing the grace was of having worked on a slave ship and been a non-believer, and then Christ miraculously saved him. But tonight, if you'll turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 5, verses 14 through 21, there are several verses you could preach about grace tonight. We know Ephesians chapter 2, 8 tells us that we're saved by grace through faith and not of works, lest any man should boast. But Romans chapter 5, verse 14 through 21 explains this a little better for us to help us understand the shape we was in and now the shape we are because of this grace. You see, we was all in a bad situation, every single one of us. Either we was in a bad situation or we are. If we don't know Christ, we are in a bad situation. And Romans chapter 5 tells us that we got to this point through a man named Adam. We had no part in becoming a sinner. It's natural born to us. It's completely natural. You don't have to teach sin. It is there naturally. But Romans chapter 5, verse 14 through 21 says, "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God, and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That is, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." Father, we thank you tonight for this grace. We thank you for this gift of that babe that was lying in that manger. Was a complete picture of grace that the world didn't even realize they needed, but God, you did, and you give us that amazing grace that we may be reconciled back to you, that unmerited favor that no man deserved. You bestowed upon us this night as we celebrate over 2,000 years ago. God, we ask you tonight to bless this sermon, to bless this service, those that are here, those that may be watching Facebook or YouTube. We ask that you touch those lives, and again, be with those that are sick, those families who are suffering. We are much in prayer for tonight. We pray that you heal their bodies. God, be with us tonight. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I told you we was in a bad situation. I want you to think a little bit about that situation tonight. We're all under there. The scripture told us because of one man's sin, which his name was Adam. We know that obviously the serpent beguiled Eve, and Eve did eat of the fruit. Adam followed right in there, and if she hadn't did it, he would have. But because of this, we are all made sinners. None of us get to exempt this. We don't get to skip past it. It's not like Monopoly, where you can get a jump ahead card. Or I remember when the girls was young, especially this time of year, they loved to play Candyland. And as we play in Candyland, if you've ever played that, if y'all hadn't had girls, you don't know what I'm talking about. But if you've had girls, you played Candyland, and Amberly used to like to call it a sweet treat. It's where it would back you up all the way back to the start. And she loved to do that so much, she just giggled, thought it was funny when I'd be about to win. But in doing this, there's no skip aheads. There's no sitting back. We're all sinners by this blood we have received from Adam. And the Bible told us right there in that scripture that because of Adam's sin, we're all separated from God. And God's grace and mercy, he desired to have a relationship with mankind. And that's what we're celebrating here tonight, is the Savior who came into the world, that was born in a manger, who always had been. By the way, that wasn't the start of Jesus. We know that. That was the start of his earthly ministry. But he's forever always been. He always will be. But there, because of Adam, we all have committed this offense. Now listen, we had no choice in this. I want you to understand that. We had absolutely no choice in becoming a sinner. The little baby that Amberlee is carrying right now, as sweet as she's going to be, and we're going to spoil her, and she's going to be perfect, and to us, she may not be, but in the size of God, she has to have a Savior. She will be born of sinful blood, and the only way that she will ever escape that is receiving Christ as her Savior. Now, no matter how precious she is to us, she must become reconciled with God through this man, Jesus Christ, and that's our prayer tonight, that not only her, but all the children that's born and being born and will come to this knowledge. But we have no choice in that offense, so we was all in a terrible situation. I want you to realize the sentence that we was under. The sentence. Romans chapter 5, verse 16 and 18. It tells us about this sentence. It says, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gifts of many offense unto a justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. We've all heard that word condemnation probably many times in preaching and maybe in Sunday school and maybe on the radio and different things, but I never really understood what that word truly means. When you begin studying out what that word means, it holds a whole different meaning to your life, because you was condemned by this word. This word condemnation means to be sentenced to damnation. Sentenced to damnation. And you look up the word damnation in the Greek and Hebrew, you know what it means? It means eternal punishment in hell. So because of Adam's offense, and because of the situation that we were all in under sin, we have been condemned, we have been damned to hell by this almighty, loving, all-holy God who has to do this because he's completely holy. Our minds can't comprehend all these things, but that is exactly what the Bible teaches. So the sentence you was under is too great for man to pay. There's never been a man good enough to pay that, besides Jesus Christ, we know that. All of our works, all of our trying, all of our goodness we think we have, it is as filthy rags. There's nothing we can do to make us right with God, because we are condemned to this punishment in hell. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So this condemnation is a terrible thing. We have trials today. We have a justice system, supposedly, in our country, and that you are innocent until proven guilty. My friend, tonight, you don't have to worry about being innocent to proven guilty. You are guilty. It told you right there you are guilty. If you are born of a woman on this earth and you are born into sin, you have no way. You're in a terrible situation and you have already been sentenced. You've already been sentenced. So you see tonight how important this thing is, how important that Christmas becomes. Now, I know we'll say this again in Easter, how important that was, but tonight we're celebrating Christmas. The birth, the coming of a Savior, how important it was for all mankind that this man of God would come, the Son of God would come and to be born, and not to be born as a king should be born, but to be born as an humble servant, as what we desire, what we should desire to be. He came that way. So we had the sentence already upon us. But tonight, there's something better than that. Look at the Savior. Romans chapter 5, 18, the B part through 21. Remember the last word of that A part of that verse 18 is condemnation. But then it says, even so, by the righteousness of the one, of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That is, sin hath reigned unto death. Even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. It didn't say by anybody else. It didn't say by any other means. It said grace came by Jesus Christ our Lord. The grace that we have, the amazing grace we sing about, the amazing grace we like to think about, only came through Jesus Christ coming to be our Savior. We all ought to shout. We ought to go outside and run from here to McDonald's in 19-degree weather or however cold it is out there. We ought to be happy. We ought to be excited. And not because Santa Claus is coming in a few hours, but because the Savior has already came 2,000 years ago and took my sentence upon Himself. And not only my sentence, but your sentence. Not only your sentence, but the sentence of the whole world did Jesus take upon Himself when He came to this earth. His coming gave you a gift of grace. Who in here likes gifts? It's all right. You can be self-righteous. Me and Blake, we fall in there. Well, I done been through y'all's tree, seeing if I got one over there when I'm over tonight. We like gifts. We all like gifts. You can be self-righteous and say it's more a blessing to give than to receive, and I believe it is, but you're human. You like gifts. Lee likes to get them old Tennessee clothes. We'll never understand. And Kim's worse than Lee. She likes Auburn clothes. And we could just keep going, but seriously tonight, we all like gifts. But each one of us has been given something that we can never repay. We've been given something that we can never thank Him enough for. We've been given grace. Think about that tonight. If you took anybody in the state of Alabama prison system who is on death row and you told them today you can go free, I promise you every single one of them would walk all that out of that jail. They'd be fools not to. Tonight you have been sentenced, according to that word, damnation, which is eternal punishment in hell. But because of God's grace, you've been given a get-out-of-jail-free card. You get to go free. You get to go. You're not bound any longer. You get to go. Who in the world wouldn't accept that offer? You get a gift of that's undeserved, that's unending, never failing. It's grace. When Paul was buffeted by the messenger of Satan and he prayed to God three times that he would take the thorn away, you know what God told him? My grace is sufficient. David, when David committed the great sins, he was given grace. Me and you tonight, we are given grace. I want you to remember this gift. Tomorrow's Christmas. We have just a few hours tonight when we hope we'll all go to bed. We'll wake up in the morning to a busy day of probably gifts and maybe not so much family as we're used to. But we'll go places probably. We'll eat together. We'll open some gifts together and we'll laugh and probably have a good time. And although we'll all be mourning a little bit about the people we can't see this year, and it will be different. But I challenge you, remember this gift. If you have children, read it to them tonight. If you have grandchildren, tomorrow, get out your Bible and read it to them. It's great to read to them about the babe in the manger. It is, because that's where it starts. And that's where we have to ingrain it into them. But it wouldn't hurt you to turn over to Romans chapter 5 and read to them about grace. Read to them about what's been given for them. But not only remember this tonight, but every day of our lives from here forward, we should think about the grace that's been given for each one of us. Undeserving. None of us deserve that grace. You say, well, preacher, you don't know how good I am. Yeah, I do. You're about as good as I am. Not much. You didn't deserve it. You deserve condemnation according to that word. It's not my words, it's His. It's strong words. The Bible says of itself, it's good for reproof, correction, and righteousness, so the man of God may be fully prepared. Tonight, just a simple question for all of us. Have you received that gift? Have you received it? I believe it's offered to all men. Do I believe God knows who'll be saved? Absolutely, He does. But I believe this gift is offered to all men, for it says he's not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. And it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It don't matter if they're Greek or Jews. Don't matter if they're black, white, yellow, purple. It does not matter. It's been offered for all men. If I offered you a gift tonight, if I had $1 million to offer you, you'd snatch it right out of my hand. If I offered to pay off your house or your car, whatever it may be, you would say, if you're serious, I'll take it up. Sure you would. Tonight, Jesus is offering you something that's everlasting, unfailing, never ending. His almighty grace. Have you received that gift? We're going to pray tonight, then we're going to have our communion service. Those of y'all that wasn't here for our last communion service we had at the starting of December, there's a new way of doing everything this year. We've got these, I don't know what you call it, social distance and, I guess, communion things. But if it takes like Robitussin, you might need it. But we're going to have our communion service. But we're going to pray first. I want each one of us, I usually read out of Corinthians where it tells us how important it is to make sure we're right with God before we partake of this thing. But tonight, you know that. Search your heart, make sure that you are right with God. If you haven't received this gift of grace, it's not too late. You're still breathing. It's not too late. Would you receive it tonight? Now listen, I can't make you emotionally decide to do this. The Bible teaches, unless a man's drawn of God, he cannot receive Christ. It teaches that no man seeks God, no, not one, that God seeks you. Tonight, if you know that God is dealing with your heart, will you open that heart to him and ask him to come in and be Lord of your life? Not a better gift, not a better time than at Christmas. Father, we thank you tonight for that gift of grace. We thank you that it's unending, it never fails, will never run out, and it's offered for all men. God, I ask you tonight to touch the hearts of those who don't know you. I ask you to draw them to yourself, and I ask you to cleanse them, as I know you will. Lord, your blood is still sufficient. That blood that you so freely shed on the cross of Calvary is still available to those lost sinners who need a Savior. God, it's my prayer tonight that somebody, whether they're in this building or on the means of Facebook or whatever way they're watching, that they may hear something that's said from your word, not mine, but your word, and their life would forever be changed, that they would ever be saved and given this gift of grace. Father, I ask you to be with the Father of this service as we partake of this communion, of it being the representation of your body that was broken for us. I pray that we're all in a spiritual condition to partake this. If not, God, I pray that we ask that you forgive us right now that we may be in this condition. Lord, I thank you for a church we can come to and freely worship tonight. I know we're different than we've ever been as far as our numbers and our people. But God, would you just heal them? And would you let us see the need for a Savior? And these blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. If I could get Keith and maybe one more of the men to come and pass out the bread and the juices together in this thing. If you remember from last time, give you a little
class, I guess. Pull the clear off if you can. Mine ain't wanting to cooperate. And you can get your bread. Huh? And then the foil will get you to the juice. I'll be reading out of Luke chapter 22, verses 19 through 21 for this communion. We know that he was having this Passover meal with them. We know what the meaning of it is tonight, and we think so much about what was done, especially at Christmas, him coming and giving that body. Never was a bone broken. The scripture was fulfilled. Even on his crucifixion, it was never a bone broken, but the body was broken. It was beaten. It was hung on that cross for us, and we're forever thankful. I'll read this verse, and then I'll pray, and then we'll take up the bread. It says, and he took bread, and he gave thanks, and brake it, and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Father, we thank you tonight for providing this bread for us, the bread of your Son, who is the bread of life. He was even born in the city of bread. Was there for the, we know that bread is essential to life. Just as essential to our physical life, the bread of Jesus is essential to our spiritual life. God, we thank you tonight for providing for this. We ask you to, God, strengthen our bodies that we may be in service for you. These blessings we do ask in Jesus' name. Likewise also the cup, after supper, saying, this cup is New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. We'll give thanks and we'll drink. Father, we thank you tonight again for the blood that was shed for us. We thank you for what this juice represents, the shedding of that blood, the free shedding, not the spilling. It wasn't an accident, it was planned. God, we thank you tonight that you shed that blood for us and that through this we may have life. And if it cleanses all of our sins, nothing but the blood of Jesus will work. God, we thank you tonight and we praise you. Lord, in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Y'all all right? A little medicine won't hurt you. There's places in Scripture where it says after they partake of the bread and the wine that they went into the Mount of Olives singing, or went into the garden singing. So we will, we don't have any music tonight, but we'll just sing a cappella. Who wants to lead us just in a few verses of Amazing Grace? And then we will dismiss. Go ahead, Abby.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
Y'all wasn't too loud, but again, I thank everyone for coming tonight. I know it's cold outside, and you got a probably not as light as you usually have on Christmas Eve, but I think it's important that we meet and celebrate the birth of our Savior and how thankful we should be for this gift of grace. Again, I hope you take this time to reflect on it and understand that you are so special to God. You are so important to Him that He would have given His only Son just for you. And I don't care what anybody tells you. You're a special creation. You're a special being because God loves you. We'll pray again and we will be dismissed. And I hope wish everyone a Merry Christmas. I hope you stay safe on the way home. And pray that we all stay safe from the virus. And we will meet back here Sunday. Father, we thank you again tonight for allowing us to have this service. We thank you for the meaning of what we have done. We know it's one of the ordinances in the scriptures that we should keep, this communion. God, we thank you for providing it for us and giving us the ability to be able to do it. Lord, we thank you for the scripture tonight that you allowed us to read and for you preserving this scripture all these years. that it's still there and it's still the Word of God. That God, as you let us see how amazing your grace truly is. Lord, I ask you tonight to bless each one, be with each family, and keep them safe as we celebrate Christmas tomorrow. And I ask that you keep the virus away from them, God, and just take it off our land. We are so ready for this thing to be gone. Lord, may we ever be changed because of it in a positive way. Lord, we are so guilty of complaining about what 2020 has been, but we know that there have been a lot of great things also, where you have really blessed us, blessed our families, blessed our church. You have blessed in a mighty way, even through what looked like dim circumstances. You have been true. You've been faithful. Lord, again, we thank you tonight, and we ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.